Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Welcome back to another episode. I'm joined by Jenna, my wonderful co-host, and Stephanie. We had her on a couple weeks ago talking about her work with Turning Point Academy, and we're having her back to discuss more in depth the difference between leftist women and right-wing women, what separates us, and how can we reach and bridge that divide, so to speak. So what's interesting to note that I've seen is all the discussions that I've seen, like Kristen Hawkins going to campuses, Charlie Kirk going to college campuses, that leftist women tend to be extremely vulgar. That is a common theme I've seen. But then right-wing women, when you see them, they're very put together. They're very respectful. I just really want to get your opinion on that as you work in this field, that what do you see as being the difference between those two camps, I guess you could say?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest difference is really what you value. And I think if you value being right over having a discussion and learning, you're going to be a lot more off put. You're going to be more vulgar. You're going to get angry.
Not necessarily right either, just winning the argument.
Yeah. So if your intention is to win the argument, you're going to get angry a lot faster. If you're coming to a stance of wanting to learn and to know more, I think it makes sense that a lot of the more, I guess, right wing women are more calm or put together and all of that. And honestly, like all of us today look great in our cute dresses, thanks to a good friend of ours who's been encouraging women to dress up and to dress well.
Yeah.
Because God created us so beautifully. So that's why not show it off?
And it's been so fun to see that she's been trying to like start a whole trend on social media with being able to like wear dresses in everyday situations. One of the girls that jumped onto this trend, she was mowing the lawn in a dress, and I'm like, that's insane. And she's like, yeah, it actually was much cooler than doing it in pants. I'm like, good for you.
Good for you.
That's amazing.
I have a confession though. I put this dress on for this episode. I've been in shorts and a t-shirt all day.
Amen.
So all power to people that can wear dresses all day. It's not my thing, unless it's a t-shirt dress. I think I can get behind that and wear that all day. Your dresses are so beautiful. I don't think I could wear that every day, like doing chores and stuff like that. Like June in Leave It to Beaver, where she does housework in really pretty dresses and she's wearing her pearls and her high heels. And I'm like, wow,
that's a
lot.
You
go, girl. Yeah. But I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. And honestly, that was kind of my position. I've never been a very like girly girl, I guess. And like even though I could not
tell that, though.
Oh, thank you.
Meeting you.
It's been a surprise.
But you're like, uncovering your femininity.
Yeah. I never liked like dressing up, playing dress up as a kid. I was like, I did not like it. Super floral things. Didn't really wear them, whatever. But honestly, like since I've become an adult, like I've had to dress kind of nice for work. And there's something nice about being like, well, I got to dress up for work and I have all these nice clothes, so I might as well wear them.
Right.
So true.
So that's been the fun part about, I mean, I still don't wear many floral prints. There's certain ones I can do, but
I think the whole goal behind it is for women to embrace femininity. So it's not like, oh, wear a dress or else you're going to be considered a tomboy or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's because we want to be able to understand God made us a certain way and it's going to be biologically different than men. So how we carry ourselves has intent behind it, how we move, how we talk and speak. And so wearing a dress for a couple days or even just for afternoon,
yeah,
it kind of makes you more conscious of, wow, I'm built differently. Mm-hmm. I'm built gracefully. I'm built beautifully. That's what the trend is all about. And it's really fun to jump onto it.
Yeah, and honestly, it is really fun. Nothing is more amazing to like, I don't know. I've had situations where like I have to pick something up like from the store or like carry something a little bit, you know, heavier or whatever. And I'm like, I'm in heels. I'm in a dress.
Uh-huh.
And there's something amazingly powerful being like, guess what I just did in heels and in a dress. You'll never believe it. It's amazing. Now, that's not my day to day by any chance. I definitely wear sweatpants and leggings and like, you know, jeans and all
absolutely.
Of that. And more dress for the purpose of the occasion. Church on Sunday, I will always be wearing a dress or a skirt because
it shows respect to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I have the clothes. You might as well wear them.
Right. It's really pretty. What? And also, that's what you were saying about like picking something up or carrying something and you have like the heavy heels on and you have the pencil skirt and like the blazer and everything. Thinking of like how conscious we are. Great. I've got to pick this up. And how we like consciously like move our bodies down so we're not promiscuous or showy or anything.
Absolutely.
And it just makes me aware, like when I'm wearing just my shorts and a t-shirt and when I have to run and pick something up from the floor, dresses really do make a difference. I should be able to carry myself like this, even when I'm not wearing one. one.
And just, I guess, how we present ourselves and carry ourselves matters, because in a sense, I mean, because maybe because I work in marketing and it was ingrained in me from a, you know, college, yeah. especially my professors are like, you are a brand. And we're like, what? They're like, well, yeah, how you present yourself, the work that you do represents who you are. And I think furthermore, as Christians, we see that too. What you say, how you dress, how you act represents what you believe in.
Yeah.
And again, that's do you have really to wear point. Dresses all the time? No. Do I? No. But I want to be represented in a way that it's true to who I am.
Absolutely. And I even a little bit take that a step further of it's very common, especially in summertime, for, and this can go into a whole like modesty episode.
Let's see.
Of quote unquote Christian women and conservative women, that it's still considered fine to wear bikinis to the beach, to wear booty shorts. And, you know, my husband and I, we went out to dinner with my parents for Mother's Day. We were at the restaurant and this family walks in and this 16-year-old girl, I mean, half of her butt is hanging out of her shorts. And her dad is right there. Her mom's right there, her younger sister. Ben and I were just talking on the way home, like, what father looks at that outfit and says, yes, that's fine. So how you carry yourself and how you dress absolutely matters of whether or not people are going to take you seriously. That if you really want to be taken seriously, you need to dress in a way that respects yourself.
That brings up a great point. I saw this video the other day and it was this whole game of just a comedian or an entertainer trying to set up different people in his audience. So they would come with the intention of like, I might be going on a date tonight. And so he set these two people up and the woman was very promiscuously dressed, like half of her shirt was missing. And there she's up there and
love when that happens.
The man, kudos to him. They were asking like a little couple personality questions and fun things. And then the question came like, hey, would you go out on a date with this woman? And he says, to be quite honest, no. Everyone was like, the entire audience, how dare you, boo. And they're like, okay, like explain, you think she's not smart? And he's like, well, sorry, kind of. Then it went on to reveal that, you know, this woman has her like vet degree and she has been in school for years and she does like all of these different, like, brilliant woman, brilliant. But the way she dressed basically
gave a different message
that she didn't really know that much, which I thought was very interesting.
Or that she was overcompensating.
That's true.
For something, yeah.
And obviously it could go both ways of being like, oh, well, maybe don't judge a book by its cover. But at the same time, why would you not dress the way you want to be seen? Mm-hmm. If you want to be seen as smart, well, act accordingly.
Absolutely. And I'm not telling men that you aren't held responsible for your thought life or anything like that. But at the same time, I think we as women need to be cognizant of, okay, you don't want to give the wrong impression on a young man or give them the impression that you're okay with being promiscuous, because a lot of girls will dress in a certain way and then they're confused why they keep getting these loser guys.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe you're sending a message that your body is available for a certain kind of activity or a certain kind of guy. And the guy that you want to date doesn't look at you and think, oh, she loves the Lord and she wants to carry herself with respect and she values her body. So how you dress absolutely matters in your dating life.
This goes and to everything,
frankly. Oh, yes, absolutely. I have
so many rants. If you wear graphic tees that say far too many inappropriate things, we may have
absolutely.
Questions.
Absolutely. And also, yes. I cannot stand it when men wear tank tops. It is, yeah, it's so, I can't stand it. So how men dress absolutely matters too. And also when men wear really short shorts.
The booty shorts?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay,
no.
I was actually talking with a friend about this.
It's so bad.
We'll get into what we're actually here for, I promise.
But you do not need a 3-inch seam.
Our grandfathers were wearing them. And I'm like, that still doesn't make that appropriate.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't want to think about my grandfather wearing a 3-inch seam short.
Well, that's another thing that girls then will look at that as a young man and not take them seriously.
Right.
So, I mean, it goes both ways. I'm not just harping on girls. I'm not just harping on guys. That I think everyone needs to respect themselves more, yeah. I think.
And I think, too, that's one of the lies of, like, more of this feminist movement of, like, you can do you can dress however you want, and you can act however you want, and if you get treated poorly, that's not on you.
Yeah, that's on them.
That's on them and not you. And so it's a lack of accountability that we're being taught
from
a young age, from our own actions. And I remember, like, I wish I was having this conversation years ago before going off to college, because there's things where it's like, you want to be cool and you want to fit in. And so it's like, do you wear the crop tops?
Well, no.
I can pull it off. My friends are wearing it, you know, so we fall. Sometimes I feel like it's this idea where you're falling into that pressure because that's what's cool and that's what's fashionable. So and well, at least I'm, you know, I don't act that way totally. And so I think there's those small lies that we can begin to believe when we're surrounded in an environment that is just promoting.
So true.
That almost horrible feminism.
Yeah, absolutely. And to, in even the conservative, I've seen so many conservatives do this of make America hot again. Like, look at what we looked like in, you know, the 40s and 50s on the beach. And we need to get back to that with healthy eating. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm fine with getting back to a healthier America, but that doesn't give us license to show off our bodies and to dress in a way that's promiscuous. And I can't get on board completely with the MAHA movement when it comes to that of everyone needs to be able to take their shirt off and look great. I'm like, well, no, I don't think that's necessarily
You should take your shirt off.
I don't think we need to take those steps to making America healthy again. And I've seen even some Christians get on that trend of making bodies hot again. And I just think that's a little bit too far.
Yeah. And I think, again, that goes back to the intentionality. Like, what are you trying to be known for? Are you trying to be known for being attractive? Are you trying
branding
to be known
yeah
for, you know, the girl that all the guys want? Or do you want to be known for your character and who you are and your accomplishments? I mean, that comes, you know, that's full circle there.
Wow. This was a great tangent. I don't, we were originally talking about virtuous women being more characterized being on the right and leftist women being more characterized by vulgarity. So this was actually an interesting tangent to go down of how we dress, how we carry ourselves, that oftentimes, and I know I was harping on some conservatives, but more times than not, when women dress respectfully, they're probably going to be leaning more conservative. And when women dress more provocatively, they probably have some more liberal ideologies. I've encountered this in my own personal life with people I know, that the people that are liberal are very okay with certain kinds of clothing, certain kinds of lifestyles. But then the people that are more conservative are a little bit more cognizant of not wearing certain items of clothing. So I just found that to be a very interesting tangent that we went down of how we dress matters. Getting back to the whole vulgarity thing, I've noticed that included in the vulgarity that is kind of characterized by leftist women, that there's almost this hyper emotionality with them of where they are incapable of thinking clearly. They're incapable of regulating their emotions. And I just would love your take on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true of all of us. Anytime emotions, emotions are great. They can be a wonderful tool. But I think especially as women, when it becomes the thing that rules your life, then you're incapable. I mean, I think at times, like if I'm, you know, over emotional about something, I can't think clearly. Mm-mm. I definitely can't. I'm more likely to believe things that are untrue. I'm more likely to say things that I shouldn't. And that's when I get myself in the most trouble. So I've seen that play out again and again, especially with women that obviously do not know the Lord and those that have more of these liberal views. It's again, everything is based on emotion. Everything is based on what feels good, what I want, how I feel. It has nothing to do with what is necessarily true. And I think when you're living a life that is, your emotions are running rampant, it's hard to not let everything affect your mental health, your well-being. And
so true.
You're going to be much more triggered, for lack of a better word.
No, that's a great
about
word.
Everything. I mean, it's one of those, like, I've had discussions with many women that have believed different things than me. Yeah. And it's something that I love doing. I love hearing other people's perspectives. But there's a point to which, like, if the conversation gets to, well, you know, it gets to insults, or it gets to, you know, where I'm trying to understand or have a conversation and they're like, well, you must hate people, or you must whatever.
Right,
if you believe
these extremes.
Things.
Right.
Yeah. Or, you know, they can only listen to they can only hear the empathetic stories. They can only listen to what they've heard or know from experience, and they're ignoring data.
Right.
I mean, it's one of those things.
And
where
it's empathetic stories that are only from one side.
Oh, of course. Yeah. That, you know, we need to be especially watchful as women, because I think we are naturally a little bit more empathetic.
Oh, definitely.
But if you are living a life where everything is based on how you feel, then don't be surprised when your feelings don't always go your way.
That's right. I was thinking of a great example of that would be when you had let your emotions carry you away. Remember that pro-life, was she a reporter? I think she was, that a woman came up to her on the street being like, hey, what are you interviewing for? She started telling her about her pro-life views. And this woman got so agitated, she literally punched this woman in the face.
Yeah, that was Savannah. She's affiliated with Turning Point USA.
And that's a fantastic example of letting your emotion get the better of you when you could have just asked your question, you could have disagreed, and you could have walked respectfully away. But emotion seriously, I think, cripples women when it is not placed in the right hierarchy.
Absolutely.
As Christians, we believe that obviously Christ needs to come first and he needs to be our priority. Everything in our lives, including our emotions, need to be submitted to him. Mm-hmm. So no matter what we feel about an issue, if this is what God is saying about it, that is what we need to believe. I was thinking while you were talking about women dressing conservatively, if you want to be considered in a certain way, you know, branding. I was thinking that the leftist argument for this, or any woman who her soul might have been a little prickled because maybe she likes wearing those shorts and maybe she likes being able to, maybe she has a beautiful body and she wants to show it off. One of the arguments against what you were saying about, oh, it's how you want to be perceived. Well, don't you want to change the perspective? Why can't I wear these things and change your mind about seeing this brand and thinking only bad things? That's on you that you're thinking that. What would your response be to that?
Well, I think this gets into is there an objective form of beauty? Because I think, you know, we all look at a sunset and we're like, wow, that's beautiful.
Amen.
But if you don't believe that there is some form of objective beauty, then of course it's whatever is in the eye of the beholder. Then of course there's no, I guess, guidelines for that.
That's fair.
Again, it's like, what is your intention and what is your purpose? If if you're super fit and you look great in a bikini, like, yeah, proud of you, good for you.
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
But is that your idol? Is that your thing? Do you need to look put together all the time? And don't get me wrong. Like, I can be a little vain sometimes. I like my house put together. I like to look nice,
yes,
you know, whatever. But the intention is, if you're just flaunting what you have, is it, again, for that male gaze? Is it to be perceived as
desirable, attractive?
Yeah. And I think we can even take this a step further. I mean, there's a number of women that have gotten into the OnlyFans stuff. There's a number that have been their sugar babies and all these things where women are being treated as if they are just objectifiable, and that's their only worth. And so I think that's a danger we fall into when if your worth is only in your appearance, then you are more likely to then go and act that way and believe that that's the only thing that's valuable about you is how you look. There's a lot of danger in that to your heart, but also you could be in physical danger depending on is buying or paying you.
Yeah.
And again, I think at the end of the day, it's not worth it.
Mm.
But it's unfortunate that I think, you know, that has become the kind of the culture.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it gets to a deeper worldview question of a theology of our bodies, of did God create our bodies as sexual beings or not? And what we read in Genesis is God absolutely created us as sexual beings, that he created us with gender. That's one of the things that is so horrific about the transgender movement, is they devalue the body so much. And they say that, you know, your soul and your body can be disconnected, that your body parts don't matter, that you can mutilate them and it doesn't matter. And that actually Christianity places a high value on the body of your sexual parts. And God created us to be sexual beings. He created us to have that intimacy with a spouse one day. And so if you're dressing in a way and your question of, well, I want to change the perspective. Well, sorry, you can't change the perspective because God is the one who created the perspective. He created us to have sexual attractiveness towards the opposite sex. And that's just something we need to address and just be open about and just accept. So we can't change that. And especially that my husband and I are having a daughter. I was much more, when I was in high school, I would buck against some of the dress codes that my parents put over me. I'm like, oh, but all my friends are dressing this way and I just really want to fit in and I don't want to be a weirdo and I don't like wearing these clothes. They're too covering. And now that I'm becoming a mom and we're having a girl, I'm thinking to myself, I know so much more about the world. I know so much more about the dangers, evil, and the way evil men think. And I don't want her to ever... I'm not saying that anyone who victimized her in any way should not be held accountable, and I pray to God that never happens, but I want her to be dressing in a way to where she is respecting her body and she's respecting her future husband as well. So I think those are really important factors to think about.
I agree. A great book on this would be No Time to Be Dumb by Rachel
Love
Jankovic.
It. Yes.
It's particularly addressing from a mother's perspective to teen girls why, you know, the crusty old church ladies are saying like, oh, you should cover up. You should cover up.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know how many of those ladies look, you know, 10 times more beautiful than you when they were your age and wore all sorts of clothes and got into all sorts of
horrible, whether relationships, they were victims, whether they were undergone those things. So they're talking from experience. When they're saying you need to cover up, it's because they don't want you to experience what they experienced so long ago. And maybe they're not doing it in a Christ-loving manner, in a way that reflects Christ beautifully. I know that there was a lady at our church one time that she literally came to my mom and told her that, how does it feel to have your daughter dressed like a prostitute? Because my little sister was wearing a dress that had shoulder keyholes.
Wow. So kind of this?
Just exactly what Alyssa's wearing.
Okay.
And there's obviously a time and a place to address it in a loving manner and to be empathetic with where the girl is coming from, because I've been there. I want to wear these shorts. It's nice and cool to wear shorts while I'm playing Frisbee. I don't want to be wearing tights under my shorts. What are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
Definitely.
But your parents and the older ladies at your church specifically are looking out for you. Maybe not in the best manner, but they're trying to look out for you.
They're trying.
And I think too, it comes back again, we've talked about branding. It talks about your intentionality. Like the more I have grown in my faith, the closer I have come to knowing the Lord, the more the things that I desired when I was younger have completely shifted, where I'm like, I really don't need, I don't need to dress like that, because honestly, I feel a little uncomfortable now where I didn't previously, which is very strange because it's, a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, if you are seeking the Lord and you're looking to honor him, there's things that you're not going to desire that you used to just because you thought they were cool.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, too, this goes to a further point of, when we're talking about a woman of virtue compared to a woman who doesn't have that, it comes back to, again, what are you putting your worth in and what are your desires and what are the lies that I think women have believed? We've touched on a little bit, but again, if you are seeking those relationships, I know a number of women, I think with the feminist movement, that have just told you you can, sleep with whoever you want and you can use men and as payback almost for the way that they've treated us historically, mm-hmm. or even in, if you've experienced it personally. And at what point is that just, we're just fighting fire with fire when we really could rise above and actually get what we want. Yeah. I mean, it's been really fascinating just having different friends from, college and younger. Absolutely. And seeing how all of us have grown up and we have different paths that we've taken. And more recently, there was this video that I saw somebody post where, again, super feminist. And it was along the lines of don't ever invite a man to your home. He doesn't deserve to be in the presence of your home because you paid for that girl. He doesn't deserve to be in it. And I was like, wow, times have shifted.
Well, this really helps the culture work. Well, could you imagine if it was the tables reversed of you don't invite that girl to your home. You paid for that man. She doesn't have the ability to stand in your presence. I mean, there would be an uproar. We can treat men like this and it's supposedly fine.
Hopeful because I was one of those maybe, as single women, we shouldn't necessarily, be inviting guys over.
It's in a circular manner, it's addressing a different problem.
So I was do you know what? Maybe that's a good step in the right direction, but also the entitlement there. If you want to get married,
The rule, yes. The intention, no.
Right. Oh my goodness. But it was one of those if you want to get married, you want to have a successful relationship, then why are you treating men like they aren't worth your time?
I know. And then the same exact woman who's posting that would turn around and being just like, there's no good men anywhere. Why can't I find one?
So true.
Maybe because you're treating them like that. Maybe they don't want to be around that. And that kind of goes back to the question that we kind of started the whole thing that we wanted you to be on is, how do we reach a woman like that? How do we reach a woman who has been educated for two decades in an education system that wants her to be miserable and wants her to just conform to the status quo and be happy with her one bedroom apartment and her cat and her cactus and just be okay with life in her 40s when she is miserable and desiring something else? How do we reach her?
Yeah, I mean, I think without Christ, it's going to be really hard to reach her.
Yeah, absolutely.
But impossible.
Yeah, because that's really what transforms our hearts and minds. And without him, I would not be able to have the opinions and the confidence that I have today. But at the same time, I think asking really good questions has always been helpful in conversations with people that have different perspectives than me. I want to know where they're coming from. And I think one of the biggest things is asking, do you really like your life the way it is? Mm. And if you do, okay, but do you actually? you know, and do right. like all aspects of it. Are you just telling
me that? Yeah.
Right. You know, and so it's one of those, like, are you just saying that you like it this way because you are prideful, or are so there true. Things that you'll turn around and tell me tomorrow that you actually hate? That's really getting to the heart of the issue of like, okay, do you, what are you discontent with in your life? Is there a solution? And I would argue there's always a solution. It's found Absolutely. In our Bible. Read it. I encourage you to read it because I swear there's a solution.
Read your Bible.
But I think having those conversations is just so important because mm-hmm. I've had conversations with friends. You know, I remember in college we were talking about faith and I was telling my friend a little bit about, unfortunately, she had a misconstrued version of what Christianity was like because of the way some Christians had treated her. And that was one of my favorite conversations because I was like, I'm so sorry that you've been treated poorly and that you have a wrong view, but that's not what Jesus says.
Yeah.
And be able to show her like, this is actually what it's supposed to be. And by the end of the conversation, she's like, you know, Stephanie, I really wish I had faith like yours.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, okay, I don't even know what I said, but praise the Lord that I was able to share a little bit of truth with her. And I was like, well, you can, you know, if you believe what I believe, you can have this joy in this life that I have. And while it is not perfect, and while I definitely go through struggles and I don't have, you know, everything all together all the time, it's, you can face each challenge more gracefully, Amen. More joyfully when you know the truth.
Absolutely. And that there's a purpose for your life too.
Yeah. And it's not just to serve yourself.
Yeah.
Because that gets exhausting. If you have to show up to all spaces, like I'm put together, I know what I'm doing all the time. You better not see any of my faults. Like that gets exhausting because then you're just performing all the time.
Yeah. And who actually knows you?
Probably very few. And then we're missing the community that we so desire too, because if right. nobody actually knows you and everything is just a pretend life, then who actually are you? Yeah. And that's a scary thing to face. That is terrifying to not know who you are. And I think we all go through this level of like, okay, who do I want to be? Yeah. And exploring that. And you're not necessarily going to be the same, you know, exact person every year. You're going to grow, you're going to change. And that's awesome. But I think when you don't, when your life is just built on what gratifies me, you're missing the greater purpose that you have in life.
That's wonderful. Well, just wrapping up this conversation, what is one piece of advice or one thing that you wish you could relay to these kinds of women that you run across in your work? What's the one thing that you wish you could just tell everyone?
Yeah. I mean, I think self-reflection is going to be the big one. Spent time evaluating how I'm thinking and feeling about things, the more I've been open to finding solutions.
Yeah.
And being honest, and that's tough and that is scary. But I'm a big journaler. I love to journal. And sometimes it's a lot scarier when you write it down and you're like, oh no, that's how I was feeling. Wow. You call yourself out. But I think, you know, when you are willing to reflect on your life and what you like and what you dislike, then you can actually make a plan.
So
and you
true.
Can search for truth and be willing to find truth and be willing to listen to others. And I think the more that you're willing to learn and grow and be curious, the more you're going to have answers and the more joy you're going to have, because you're not just set in your ways and you're not just set being ruled by your emotions and Amen. What you think is right in a moment. You're willing to be wrong. It's a two part of be self-reflective, mm-hmm. be curious, and be open to finding really what can change your life.
One of the biggest examples of this, where it's a very volatile leftist woman, would be Rosaria Butterfield.
Yes.
Where she lived so long as a lesbian with her significant other, and she hated Christians, and she taught in a university, and she was just very pro-LGBTQ+. She was very leftist. She met a pastor and his family. This pastor and his family invited her over for dinner. She went through the loving care that these people showed her, through being Christ to her and just loving her every day, in and out, answering all her questions with grace and humility.
Absolutely.
She came to an knowledge of Jesus Christ and put her faith in him, and she left her lifestyle behind her. She got married and she had wonderful, I don't remember how many kids she had, but she's now talking to everyone being like, I was that leftist woman. I was that woman who was caught in sin and who thought she would had it all together and was so, she thought she was so happy. But when she came to understand and was, she was willing to be wrong about something and was willing to accept that something might be true that she didn't want to be true, that's when she was able to fully reflect and come to a knowledge of Christ. And now she is a fruitful vine and she's bearing much fruit.
Love it. And love that final example.
Yeah. I mean, she's and doing incredible work. And I think that's true in openness. And I think for us that are Christians, we need to actually be Jesus. We need to not just smack people with our Bibles. Mm-hmm. We need to not be judgmental. We need to be consistent. We need to share truth, but care so much about the individual that that's how they leave our conversation, knowing that we care about them as a human being because they are, and they are made in God's image. And that is so important. And so I think when we are consistent with this is truth, this is not the line I'm going to cross, but also affirming that there is grace and that we need it just as much as anybody else.
Mm-hmm. So true. Thank you so much for coming on and having another conversation with us about your work and the kind of people that you interact with, the kind of, especially the women that you interact with. This has been a great conversation.
I think we kind of effectively answered Charlie Kirk's question.
I think so.
Well, I'll have to tell him next time I see him.
All right. Maybe we can get him on the show.
Neil, listen, he's a very busy person, but
one day in like 10 years.
One day we'll have Charlie on. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.